Devin.
Hi, everybody. As mentioned, my name is Devin, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Devin.
The few pieces of good news to start with are that my sobriety date is still the same as last week. That is January 16th, 2017. I still have a home group. It is the Woodbridge Big Book Group that meets Tuesday nights and Saturday mornings. And the last piece is that I'm back, because unless I missed it, I was allowed to return, which was not always the case, so that's good news. Happy to be here. The quick recap, right, for session two. It's funny to me. I like it. I like it a lot. The quick recap from last week. I spoke a little bit about myself, tried to limit that as much as possible, because that could easily be the full hour. I spoke a little bit about myself in a way to try and explain my experience with steps one and two, and how I came to become wholeheartedly convinced that I had alcoholism and that it was extremely dire, and find that desperation that was able to be used to work toward recovery, right? Then we read out of We Agnostics, the spiritual experience, and talked a little bit about how that quest for a higher power that it explains many, many times is the premise of the book and the most important critical thing to recovery. We talked about how attainable that really is and how it doesn't need to be as overwhelming as I initially found it. Tonight, I'm going to do my best to try and spark some thoughts about steps 4 through 9 from pages 58 to 84. Tall order. I'm going to do my best to not just read verbatim out of the book and insert some personal experience, because ultimately that's my understanding of why I'm up here. And then I'll get to my favorite part, where I get to stop talking and hear from you guys. But in the interim, let's pick it up on page 58, please, with good old How It Works. Chapter 5, How It Works. And a quick look at this. We haven't even started reading yet, and I already have a note. This was a handed-down big book, and I like that. It's one of those very cool things about AA, because in the top left of my page 58, it says 4904, right? That wasn't 50 years ago, but it also wasn't yesterday, right? I have names in the front of this book, five different gentlemen's names, and a note that says $5. And every time I open the book, right, which is as often as I can try, it reminds me about that, right, the unity in all this, that it ain't just me. I certainly was not the first one to come, and with any luck, I certainly won't be the last. It's a good reminder, and it's all over throughout this. There were already plenty of notes in here. So chapter 5, rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. Those who do not recover are people who cannot or will not completely give themselves to this simple program, usually men and women who are constitutionally incapable of being honest with themselves. There are such unfortunates. They are not at fault. They seem to have been born that way. They are naturally incapable of grasping and developing a manner of living which demands rigorous honesty. Their chances are less than average. Not impossible, but less than average. There are those, too, who suffer from grave emotional and mental disorders, but many of them do recover if they have the capacity to be honest. So right there, when I was reading it first times in the rooms and the first years in the rooms prior to commencing recovery, it was almost like, nice, I'm getting fed a little bit of an out. There might be something here that seems like an excuse for me. And that last sentence is important, very important. But they do recover if they have the capacity to be honest. So for no one is it impossible, is it saying. Our stories disclose, in a general way, what we used to be like, what happened, and what we are like now. If you have decided you want what we have and are willing to go to any length to get it, then you are ready to take certain steps. Critical right there, because sort of part of that 1, 2, and 3 steps, which, like I said last week, as it was oversimplified to me by a mentor, not a sponsor, but like a family friend mentor. One is he can't or I can't. 2 is he can, and 3 is so let him. Those were the 3 steps as it was simplified to me. But let's think about what it says right there. We are ready to take certain steps if we have decided that we want what these folks in the room have. And very importantly, if we're willing to go to any length to get it. Right? So it's a double whammy there. First is the interest of not living a tremendously insufferable alcoholic, actively alcoholic life, but just not wanting to be that is not quite enough, right? There's that kicker that I've been asked by every sponsor so far, right off of the jump, once I asked them to sponsor me. The same question is always what I get, right? Are you willing to go to any lengths? It's not the only way to do it, but that's my experience. That's the first question I get asked all of the five different times that I've asked someone to sponsor me. So that's important, and it's a tough question to answer. I'm not sure that I certainly meant it every single time, but did I wholeheartedly believe I was willing to go to absolutely any length? The good news is I paused and at least had the wherewithal to think about, like, before I just spit this out, like I used to in the olden days, just, great. I at least sat there for a few seconds and was like, am I willing? All right, good gut check, but I mean, for the interest of the conversation, I'm going to say yes. But it's an interesting thing to ponder, right? It takes that sort of not only desperation to need to get in here in the first place, but any length, right? Another one of those sayings that comes up often and comes up from folks that I trust in this program is anything you put before your sobriety, you are subject to lose. The word anything is, once again, all-encompassing, and that's kind of big. You're like, huh, before family, like before the career and the stuff that I can use to like support loved ones, anything, right? Anything, any lengths. Kind of emphasizing the importance of where this needs to be. At some of these, we balked. We thought we could find an easier, softer way, but we could not. With all the earnestness at our command, we beg of you to be fearless and thorough from the very start. Some of us have tried to hold on to our old ideas, and the result was nil until we let go absolutely. Again, the word absolutely. I'm going to keep doing that because I love the how non-negotiable a lot of the phrasing is in here. Because if I'm just trying to catch messages from the room and forget about where the messages are coming from a lot of the time, I'm missing it. But when I read this, more often than not, there's not a lot of ways out and there's not really a lot of room for talking back, the way I read it at least. Remember that we deal with alcohol. Cunning, baffling, powerful. Without help, it is too much for us. But there is one who has all power. That one is God. May you find him now. Half measures availed us nothing. We stood at the turning point. We asked his protection and care with complete abandon. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. One, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Many of us exclaimed, what an order. I can't go through with it. Do not be discouraged. Right? They're conceding that, yes, that may seem overwhelming. There's a lot there. There's a lot of implications there. Without fully understanding them, by reading the rest of the first 164 plus, don't give up before the miracle happens. In short, is what that's getting at to me. No one among us has been able to maintain anything like perfect adherence to these principles. Comforting, again, to someone like me who errs on the perfectionist side, I can very much, and this is one of those things that has stuck around a little bit than I would probably care to admit, and definitely a little bit more than I'd like. Not fully internalizing some of these, it doesn't have to be perfect. Everyone's sobriety is different. Conceptions of higher powers are different. We beg of you to be fearless and thorough, those sort of things. No one has been able to maintain anything like perfect adherence. We are not saints. The point is that we are willing to grow along spiritual lines. The principles we have set down are guides to progress. We claim spiritual progress rather than spiritual perfection. Good for me to understand it doesn't have to be perfect, but at the same time, with a lot of things in life, it's about getting on the right point of the balancing beam, because I can very quickly go to the other end and say, top of page 60, it says we're not perfect, so I'm just not going to really try that hard, because I can get away and point to that and say, I think this is as good as I'm getting right now, without really looking in the mirror and being convinced that I am giving my all, right? All about the balancing beam. Our description of the alcoholic, the chapter 2, the agnostic, and our personal adventures before and after make clear three pertinent ideas. And this is getting back to that 1, 2, 3, that I can't, he can, so let him. And then the book's words here, A, that we were alcoholic and could not manage our own lives. B, that probably no human power could have relieved our alcoholism. And C, that God could and would if he were sought. Right, we'll talk about a little bit about the 10, 11, and 12, and those maintenance steps, like a lot of folks call it, but that word sought, we'll get to that word sought as it deals with connection and awareness of a higher power next week. For now, since we've already touched on and we want to get to as much as we can here, a little bit of 1, 2, and 3, and a lot of really step 3 last week, I'm going to jump to... Where am I going to jump to? I'm going to jump to... Pardon me. Top of 64, right into step 4. Right, because I'm doing my best here to kind of split it up into a lot of the ways that the steps were sort of grouped and explained to me early on, which are those first three, the foundations, the must-haves before you can really do a lot, which I tried to emphasize a lot last week, these action steps, which are that 4 to 9, and then again, like I said, the maintenance steps, that 10, 11, and 12 of continuing to do some of these things and seeking to improve that conscious contact. So picking up with the word therefore on page 64, we're going to start talking about step 4, and tonight get through handling some of our inner demons and with help from another person. Emphasized that last week as well. I don't do a lot in this program or really in life these days alone, because it just goes better when that's not the case, right? One of those like buzzwords that I like to try and use to explain what my idealistic and what I'm seeking for like my AA life and how I see it working elsewhere is outsourcing is the word I use. In a sense of, like we'll get to in step 5, giving it a stab ourselves, but then getting a second opinion, whether it's like that in the program, at the doctor, but with a lot of other decisions that are not necessarily directly AA related, who knows? Who knows what it is, right? Talking about a blooming relationship with somebody, talking about a life decision like something at work, like that. Having trusted confidants in and out of the rooms, maybe there's a lot of overlap there. For me, there certainly is. But outsourcing and getting the opinions of others is like a very simple thing that AA instilled in me that, to me, goes beyond the rooms. There's obviously intertwinement there because these principles are applicable in fairly all of life as far as I'm concerned. But that's big, and we'll get there. So on 64. Therefore, we started upon a personal inventory. Right, so now that we're convinced that we really need to be here and something has to change, and we've learned what we're going to try and do and the foundation we're going to try and build off of to get to any sort of solution or relief of this alcohol problem, we're going to do a personal inventory. Look at us right in the face, right? And before I had gotten to these steps, and even after and now, there's a sort of aura, right? Like an almost mystery, an intimidation around steps 4 and 5, that I personally, and that's all I can talk about, is what I personally felt, that I personally never really felt, because I was on the end of the type of alcoholic who beat themselves up, right? One was the type of drinker I was, which was overtly aggressive, like criminal, physical type stuff, blackout every single time. So when we got to step 4, I was like, interesting. Like, who am I holding, who do I have resentment toward? Whether that's an institution, an individual, a theory, like who am I mad at? Who do I think did me wrong? And I'm like, I don't know, like I'll throw in the towel. I'm pretty sure that this was mostly of my own doing, and I was just off the rails and was hurting people. Like, I don't know if it really came from anything, which in a lot of ways I think was helpful, because there weren't a lot of excuses I had for behaviors, at least. And I talked about that last week, about I'm in a very strange way happy that it got there, but in a strange way thankful for that was the type of drinker I was, because it wasn't going to last long. There was no way. It was so aggressive, so quick, so progressive, that something was going to happen one way or another. Either my time in life was going to be donezo, or something was going to change. I'll keep reading from the book and stop using my own words. This was step four. A business which takes no regular inventory usually goes broke. Taking a commercial inventory is a fact-finding and fact-facing process. It is an effort to discover the truth about the stock in trade. One object is to disclose damaged or unsaleable goods, to get rid of them promptly and without regret. If the owner of the business is to be successful, he cannot fool himself about values. We did exactly the same thing with our lives. We took stock honestly. First, we searched out the flaws in our makeup which caused our failure. Being convinced that self, manifested in various ways, was what had defeated us, we considered its common manifestations. Resentment is the number one offender. It destroys more alcoholics than anything else. Right? Another one of those. Just very to the point. They're making that claim. Have fun trying to refute it. That resentment destroys more alcoholics than anything else. It's all over the book, those sorts of things, and I don't have enough highlighter to get them all. From it stem all forms of spiritual disease, for we have been not only mentally and physically ill, as if that wasn't enough, we have also been spiritually sick. When the spiritual malady is overcome, we straighten out mentally and physically. In dealing with resentments, we set them on paper. We listed people, institutions, or principles with whom we were angry. We asked ourselves why we were angry. In most cases, it was found that our self-esteem, our pocketbooks, our ambitions, our personal relationships, including sex, were hurt or threatened. So we were sore. We were burned up. On our grudge list, we set opposite each name our injuries. Was it our self-esteem, our security, our ambitions, our personal or sex relations, which had been interfered with? And then it goes into, right, the classic column example of the resentful at, the cause, the effects my, and what my sponsor and what it shows in my book had me put in was that fourth column of my part, right? And that was really, to me, the most important one. This kind of gets at what we'll chat about coming up, about 8 and 9. But, right, putting down the resentments list, it is. Like it says in the middle of 64, it's a fact-finding and fact-facing process, which is why coming in with early sobriety and not a ton under our belts, what a task that is, right? It's stuff that the one way it was described to me, and I really found this to be true when I was in inpatient treatment for, like, the first time, the whole concept of when people start drinking, the maturation, like the normal maturation process, almost stops, right? So I went into treatment, and someone had said that either before or right when I had gotten in, and it was very, very, very similar to my recollection of like a middle school lunchroom. The same sort of actions, behaviors, attitudes. It was like being, myself included, which was a tough one to swallow, like being with a bunch of middle schoolers that were really not up there on the maturity scale, right? It was childlike behavior, very instinctual with not a lot of filter. And it's what we are in active alcoholism, right? What I am. So when it comes into this, right off the bat, right after we've just gotten to a point where we can have at least a little bit of humility to admit that we don't rule the world and can't take care of this ourselves. Now we're just opening up the entire can of worms, and let's dump the past and figure out maybe where some of this stuff came from. So yeah, I guess I can get the whole intimidation, right? Because it is, frankly, quite intimidating right off the bat. Like I said, as far as my population of this list, I've done these a few times, and it was always like a long marathon style finally given the assignment from a sponsor that I was so deeply craving, because I'm very much a, like, I don't know, in a work fashion, like a scholastic, give me something and let me get it done as quickly and as accurately and as well as possible and back to you as fast as I can, and then look for like some congrats. So I was finally given those assignments, right? And of course, like, chronic overdoer, just like I was with booze. Took it back in the same night, pulled an all-nighter. If it took two nights, we were doing two nights, and called them whenever it was done, whether that was 2 a.m. or midday. Said, all right, let's do it. Let's go over it. You're going to love it. Which is a lot of what came up in after step five, the my part, go figure, that I was looking for some sort of gratification or thought someone had done me wrong and I wasn't getting like the kudos that I thought I deserved. I don't know. It's funny. It's like, oh, sure. Like, but can you blame me? That's how I'm wired. I'm glad we have more evidence of it. But that's what it was, right? For me, step four, like I said, it was like pulling teeth to figure out who the heck to put on it. I was like, are we really going back to like the grade school art teacher that said my project wasn't as good as I thought it was? Like, are we going that low? Because I don't really have anything else. I was like, I guess I'll put down my mom and like a few institutions that I don't agree with. But what do you want me doing here? So it was. Step four for me was tough because I didn't really know what to put. I was like, I don't know. I was so dark, depleted, was fully convinced all of it was my fault, almost overboard on that end. I was like, I don't know, there's no one, man. Me. Can I put myself on the list? That's why I'm resentful at, for letting all this happen. And that's just the truth of the matter. But we got there, right? I don't really know much more to say about it other than so, so incredibly important to involve another person. Not even in just reviewing the list, but for me, while I was even trying to come up with the list, I was like, I know you can't do it for me, but like, give me a hint or something. But I do think that, once again, not my experience, but the folks that have trouble or don't hear back from folks after they give this assignment are probably stuck in the room by themselves and thinking about it too much and not doing that outsourcing task of, hey, like, when you're doing the list and maybe you're getting choked up, like, I don't want to think about this stuff. Just like if we're thinking about, hey, like, maybe I want to get a drink, it's the same sort of phone call. And it's when that phone call doesn't get made that all of a sudden maybe the book gets shut and someone's out the door and never back, right? So in my very humble experience, even while doing the exercise and the step work, good to involve, and it doesn't have to be I'm going to get a drink. It can just be F this program. Maybe when those thoughts are coming in, just as valuable to make the same phone call to a sponsor, whoever it may be, right? I'll pick it up on page 67, the end of that paragraph, just to read a little bit more about the premise of, for the folks that do have those burning resentments that are easy to populate and make a paragraph, a packet worth, the kind of thought process that the book wants us to get to of worrying about our side of the street, understanding the other person is also human. The foreshadowing of we're going to find out and go over this with someone else and find our faults. Let's understand that we're not the only ones with faults. That sort of thinking. So I'm going to pick up on, this is a sick man. How can I be helpful to him? God save me from being angry. Thy will be done. And that's a four-step prayer as I have written in the margin. We avoid retaliation or argument. We wouldn't treat sick people that way. If we do, we destroy our chance of being helpful. We cannot be helpful to all people, but at least God will show us how to take a kindly and tolerant view of each and every one. Referring to our list again, putting out of our minds the wrongs others had done, a very important step of that process as well, putting out of mind what others have done. That does not belong anywhere on the chart other than maybe the cause. You can put some, yeah, this person did this to me. Putting out of our minds the wrongs others had done, we resolutely looked for our own mistakes. Where had we been selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, and frightened? Those situations had not been entirely our fault. We tried to disregard the other person involved entirely. Where were we to blame? The inventory was ours, not the other man's. When we saw our faults, we listened to them. We placed them before us in black and white. We admitted our wrongs honestly and were willing to set these matters straight. So yeah, that's kind of the summary. And if the first part and in step four is really the first area in which that whole premise of an inventory comes into play, right? Obviously, step four is the big one that I've done a few times with the help of sponsors, but the daily one that we'll get to next week, step 10, same premise. And it is looking at ourselves and only ourselves. Again, the book is saying we tried to disregard the other person involved entirely. Sometimes easier said than done, but that's the premise, to try and be a better person ourselves, not forget about the humility that we were talking about and think we can control others, because that's not our jobs, nor can we do them if we think they are. So have fun trying if that be your choice, right? So talking a little bit about step five, after we go over this list, and it, right, I filled out the my part in a few different times of doing the fourth step prior to doing a fifth step. And even then, talk about a good eye-opener that was. Even when I did that, the my part, by myself, so off-base. So off-base. The first time, maybe the most off-base, but even in, after not decades, but years of trying my best to be active and work and have some sobriety, still fairly off-base in the my parts. Still twisting it to somehow shift blame, and even in the my part, it was like, sure, retaliated a little too much. That's not the idea, right? Retaliating at all is the my part, not too much. There's nothing justified about what's going on there. So my fifth step experiences have been kind of all over the map. The most successful ones, by the sponsors' admissions too, so I don't think any of the sponsors that I'm not putting up at the tippy top would be too upset, have looked a little bit extra, right? Again, chronic overdoer, so I like having a good story to tell. But the best ones were like hours and hours and hours, like probably 4 to 6, out in some sort of naturescape, period. Why that's the case, I don't have that wisdom to impart on us, but something obviously is spiritual, and there's no surprise to a lot of us that spirituality, higher power realm, exists and can be found obviously in a lot of nature. So one of them was at a men's convention down in Long Branch. Before any of the activities started for the day, we woke up at like 3 or 4 a.m. and went out to the beach in the late fall, if not early winter, and did a fifth step there. And the other was back when I was at school in central New York, overlooking one of the Finger Lakes, midday, but with lawn chairs, just sitting there with my sponsor. For that one was the first one I had really fully, thoroughly done, and that was a good like 5-6 hour period of time, right? They fall asleep every so often. You wake them up, you're still there. It's just what it is, right? There's no substitute for actually going through the fifth step. And like I said, and tried my best to allude to, it's because I can be ever so gung-ho about presenting the hard work I've done, but unless I am being honest about it, right? We talked about the indispensables last week, the honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. And unless I do that last piece of be an active listener when the sponsor is providing whatever input they have about that four-step list, it is literally all for naught. Like, why do it if I'm not going to listen and be committed to admitting that I agree with some of the stuff that someone who I wanted what they had is telling me, right? It comes full circle to a certain extent. Okay. So I'm going to go ahead and skip on to starting to talk about 6 and 7 once I can find that area. While I do try and find that area, 6 and 7, difficult for me, right? One of those that, I don't know, maybe too up in my own head, but I'm like, oh boy, like what am I saying other than this, other than, okay, like re-drop the rock. Because my 6 and 7 were both done immediately after the fifth step out in those naturescapes. I got that open-ended task of, all right, go over there, read this part of the book. When you're ready, you'll know, or maybe not, but it better be long enough to be believable to be ready. Then say the 7-step prayer, and then you can come back, right? That's just my actual honest experience with six and seven, the way that I have physically worked them, right? With one of my sponsors previously when I was still in the city, we started going through on a weekly basis, drop the rock. Who knows? I was at that part of the program. But this is one of those that I feel like I'm just scratching the surface of, maybe. But even like my mom and her clan of gals who are, she's 38 years at this point or something like that. That's one of those that she's always reading with sponsees, whether it's like the 30-year sponsee or the brand new sponsee who hasn't even gotten to these steps yet. That's probably the book that we have the most copies of in my house growing up, and there is a lot of AA literature, let me tell you. So there's something there, and I look forward to continuing to chase that infinite path of not hanging on to stuff any longer. But we'll pick up with the fifth step promises in the middle of 75. It says, "We pocket our pride and go to it, illuminating every twist of character, every dark cranny of the past. Once we have taken this step, withholding nothing, we are," and I have eight different promises marked out in pen that I read with a sponsor. First promise is that we are delighted. Yeah, I guess that counts. The second is we can look the world in the eye. There's a lot there. That's a big statement, huh? Three, we can be alone at perfect peace and ease. Our fears fall from us is the fourth. We begin to feel nearness of our Creator. We may have had spiritual beliefs, but now we begin to have a spiritual experience, right? That transition from beliefs into an experience. The feeling that the drink problem has disappeared will often come strongly. We feel we are on the broad highway, walking hand in hand with the spirit of the universe. Right, let's think about the verbiage in that paragraph, huh? There's a lot of pretty solid sounding stuff. Very grandiose. Being able to look the world in the eye. Perfect peace and ease. Right? There's a lot there. Reiterating the importance of that fourth and fifth step, right? I'd be lying to you if I said that going out with an older gentleman and sitting in a lawn chair for 6 hours and talking about myself and then pretending to listen to them made me feel all of these things. But that's why I've done it a few times and why I continue to be open to doing another fourth, fifth step, the 10, 11, 12 in the future, right? Because they are promises. It just is not always our choice, the timeline in which they will develop, right? Returning home, we find a place where we can be quiet for an hour, carefully reviewing what we have done. And this is the step six that I was told to go and do. I did not return home. I went over to the corner and looked over a gorge or out over the ocean in like 20-degree weather. But I'm from Western New York, so we were in t-shirt and shorts. Where we can be quiet for an hour, carefully reviewing what we have done. We thank God from the bottom of our heart that we know Him better. Taking this book down from our shelf, we turn to the page which contains the 12 steps. Carefully reading the first five proposals, we ask if we have omitted anything, for we are building an arch through which we shall walk a free man at last. Is our work solid so far? Are the stones properly in place? Have we skimped on the cement put into the foundation? Have we tried to make mortar without sand? And then I have written in pen, close with prayer. If we can answer to our satisfaction, and that's a good one, right? It's for the alcoholic I was, that was a sort of responsibility and accountability. If we can answer to our satisfaction, right, I get to make this choice. Do I think I have done enough? And it's tough because looking in the mirror and just thinking about it, to me, did not inspire that answer. It did require spiritual action to even get to that answer, which is why we found ourselves in those, in my opinion, in those naturescapes, because there was an opportunity to practice some things that I was not used to doing, right? Praying and meditating. Even to get to that answer in step six, whether or not I knew I was doing it, it required a certain, at least willingness or openness to attempt to practice prayer and meditation. Because I was like, I don't know, who's going to be able to answer that question? I don't know if it's to my satisfaction, I guess. He said, go over there, be quiet, and maybe the answer will come to you. I was like, all right, fair enough, let's give it a go. What else are we going to do? We have emphasized willingness as being indispensable. Are we now ready to let God remove from us all things which we have admitted are objectionable? Can He now take them all, every one? If we still cling to something, we will not let go. We ask God for help, to help us be willing. When ready, we say something like this: "My Creator, I'm not willing that you should have all of me, good and bad. I pray that you now remove from me every single defect of character which stands in the way of my usefulness to you and my fellows. Grant me strength as I go out from here to do your bidding. Amen." We have then completed step 7. Right, so a quick recap at this point in the game, right? Taking it from the top, because I have to start from the very beginning every single time. 1, 2, 3, the foundation of emphasizing how dire the situation I was in was, and coming to fully admit defeat, and then getting into at least being open-minded enough and not living in a state of belligerent denial to think that I can do it myself. At this point, we have now taken a very uncomfortable and hard look at some of the evidence, right? The proof is in the pudding. It was there. It was definitely there. And with help from someone else, got some sort of understanding of some themes, if you will, some patterns. And at this point, we're not even working on them yet. We are coming to a point of understanding them and being willing to work on them, and very importantly, getting to a point of humility to ask for help in working on those things, right? And then, surprise, surprise, something comes after that, and it goes like this: "Now we need more action, without which we find that faith without works is dead." Let's look at steps 8 and 9. "We have a list of all persons we had harmed and to whom we were willing to make amends." I'm going to pause quick, because when I came to step 4 the first time, and like still now, I was ready to jump way ahead. I understood the necessity for 1, 2, 3. I get it. Like, all right, that's going to be a big mind shift. Let's take our time and get these ones as firmly completed as we can. But after that, right, I was describing that difficulty in even populating a list for 4. I was like, okay, am I ready to go apologize to people yet? Because, like, I got a lot of stuff to take care of. So whenever we can get to that part, I'd really like to. So, man, when I got to step 9, I was over the moon. I was like, good. Like, that list was easy. I couldn't sleep until I made that freaking list because, again, type of drinker I was and the stuff that I was doing, that was much, much more simple. The wreckage was hard to keep track of even. It wasn't hard to come up with, but I found myself in, and this is just, it's important to put it like this because it's how grim it got. I don't know, 2.5, 3 years drinking career was when it was in the problematic phase. Like I said, blackout every time. Coming up with the 9-step, there were some obvious ones like, okay, like family, like, oh, like I heard about this debacle, so I'll put those people. Heard about this, as in was retold it, because there's like not a pure blind spot, but the drinking got so serious that I literally have still no recollection of not only some, but most of what happened. And like, that's the sort of stuff that it's important for me to say out loud today, because it was that bad. Like, I still don't remember, because I can't, because I was affecting my body in that sort of way. So I was ready to go and apologize, but the humility that it took to walk up to people and be like, I need some help with this thing I'm doing. I'm trying to come up with who I owe an apology to, because I knew they were out there. I just didn't know how the heck to find them. And boy, the swallowing of pride that was is like nothing that I ever hope to experience again, right? Through the struggle comes growth, let me tell you that much. But holy moly, going up to the friends and that, right, they were on the list too, but I had to approach these people and be like, who do you think has to be on here? I know there's a lot of them. Just like nothing else I ever could have imagined, you know? But anyway, here we are. "We have a list of all persons we have harmed and to whom we are willing to make amends. We made it when we took inventory. We subjected ourselves to a drastic self-appraisal. Now we go out to our fellows and repair the damage done in the past. We attempt to sweep away the debris which is accumulated out of our effort to live on self-will and run the show ourselves. If we haven't the will to do this, we ask until it comes. Remember, it was agreed at the beginning we would go to any lengths for victory over alcohol." Probably there are still some misgivings. "As we look over the list of business acquaintances and friends we have hurt, we may feel diffident about going to some of them on a spiritual basis. Let us be reassured. To some people, we need not and probably should not emphasize the spiritual feature on our first approach. We might prejudice them. At the moment, we are trying to put our lives in order, but this is not an end in itself. Our real purpose is to fit ourselves to be of maximum service to God and the people about us. Underlined, should be italicized, maybe bolded. Again, when it's telling me in plain black and white, a single sentence, stuff like what our real purpose is, or what we read last week, what the purpose, the main purpose of the book is, stuff to pay attention to. So, our real purpose is not to apologize, get off, stop feeling guilty, and like pretend to have everything squandered, and like our house in order. Sure, that is a byproduct, but our real purpose is to fit ourselves to be of maximum service to God and the people about us. Interesting. Took a mind shift for me to understand that, because when I was gung-ho, it was not for that. It was to get me out of the stuff and the bad feelings and the guilt. That's what I was doing it for, and sure, that's on the right path, but it wasn't quite there. It is seldom wise to approach an individual who still has smarts from our injustice to him and announce that we have gone religious. In the prize ring, this would be called leading with the chin. Why lay ourselves open to being branded fanatics or religious bores? We may kill a future opportunity to carry a beneficial message, but our man is sure to be impressed with a sincere desire to set right the wrong. He's going to be more interested in a demonstration of goodwill than in our talk of spiritual discoveries. We don't use this as an excuse for shying away from the subject of God. When it will serve any good purpose, we are willing to announce our convictions with tact and common sense. The question of how to approach the man we hated will arise. It may be he has done us more harm than we have done to him, and though we may have acquired a better attitude toward him, we are still not too keen about admitting our faults. Nevertheless, with a person we dislike, we take the bit in our teeth. It is harder to go to an enemy than to a friend, but we may find it much more beneficial to us. We go to him in a helpful and forgiving spirit, confessing our former ill feeling and expressing our regret. Then right on the stop there and give my experience on like actually doing some 9 steps and my experience on 8 and 9. But the rest of that in the next like page and a half, if not a few pages, is same sort of premise of just like in step 4, we're worried about the R part. We're worried about clearing our side of the street. Because again, right, in my experience, it was, all right, the list was way, way too easy to come up with. I mean, I say that, but then I just gave the story about how it really wasn't that easy because I needed a lot of help from people to actually get any sort of fine details in there. But came up with the list, right? Very, very importantly, again, thank goodness that I put it past another person, right? I made a brand new list entirely because to me, in my experience, 4-step lists and 8-step were slightly different. One had trouble with, it was, who am I mad at? Where do I think people have right or have wronged me? And 9 was really my bread and butter of, okay, like, these are the easy ones. Who do I owe apologies to? Period, for anything, no matter how big or small. Came up with that list and almost did like another sort of 8.5 step of reviewing that, comparing it with 4 and 5, seeing if the same patterns were there. Duh, of course they were. But it took a lot of coaching for me because I read some of the warnings in here, right, of the classic trying to apologize too soon, or even more important, the way it was described to me was, and like how dire this is you cannot and should not apologize if nothing has actually changed. Right, if it's all lip service and sure you have some sort of better awareness about the past and circumstances, but you're at heart still the same person and haven't changed, then what are you doing it for? Like, those were the warnings I got. I was like, oh, I go, okay, man, like, you all right? Like, calm it down here a little bit. That was a little too serious for me at the time. But I think it's true. I think it's very true. Because in like the circles I ran with, there were a few, maybe even a bunch of us that came into these rooms at the same time. And not taking anyone else's inventory, but you can definitely tell the folks that just were getting this off the list and the folks that had actually internalized and were going to be here for more than a little while and were taking this seriously and actually behaved and acted differently. Because really, that's like the ultimate barometer in my mind is, am I acting overtly and from the opinions of others like a different person, other than just putting down the drink? That's the qualifier. That's the first part. But it is obviously easy enough to miss a lot of what else is in here if I'm only worried about not drinking. Because a lot of this is, it's that, right, beyond the physical part, it's the mental and that spiritual malady that really is not doing that real purpose to find myself to be of maximum service to God if I'm stopping and just putting the drink down, which was both disappointing and beautiful when it came up in the, like, early mid stages, right? So for all these, I took it probably more seriously than I needed to at the time, right? Even with like good friends that I was talking to still on a daily basis, because they had some sort of grace within them to understand that when I was drinking, it wasn't really me. I set up like not formal meetings, but it wasn't just like a phone call or anything. I traveled for Nine Steps in quite a few instances. There have been more than quite a few instances where I was advised by a sponsor and then a grand sponsor and a different person because I was like, all right, I want to make sure that I'm not letting this one slide under the rug to not do multiple Nine Steps because right there in the step itself, it says, right, except when to do so would injure them or others. I had a few of those circumstances. So again, this is me emphasizing the importance of putting that list past someone else and getting a second opinion, a vote of confidence, if you will, that one may actually be ready to make amends before just jumping into it, right? Eagerness is one thing. That's a tremendous way to start. No, I didn't think the amends would be fun, and some of them were, some of them weren't. But you hear the stories all the time about after the ninth step happens, and provided that we are going in it the right way, which to me is, again, and I have the notes in the front of the book because there's more on the list. I'm not done by any means. Like the script, if you will. And it essentially is, like, put aside the buddy-buddy or whoever the heck it is, right? I've met in, like, relatively private places every time because it's, like, that serious and some stuff comes up. And said the first thing, like, all right, here's the deal. Here's why I'm here. It's not just a normal Tuesday. This is like so ridiculously serious because it's life and death for me, and I'm trying to take this as seriously as I can, like put it before everything else in my life, trying to right my wrongs, right? Not apologize. I'm not here to just apologize. I'm here to make things right in whatever way I can. And very importantly, like the end of the script is, what am I missing? That was told to me by a sponsor. Very, very importantly, is what am I missing? Because that sort of displays the not only worrying about ourselves, do you accept the apology, but what else is there? Like, here are the efforts I'm trying to make, but out of your mouth, person whom I owe an amends to, what am I missing? Like, lay it out for me. And no, they're not easy. But there have been some restored friendships, which were like, right, I haven't been around on this planet for an extremely long time, but there were, I'll do this last dialogue and then get out of here, but this is good stuff because it's bringing up like some real deal emotions about, like, I got essentially pulled from college. Like, my buddies who I was living with had to not only call the cops on me, because we were years into doing that. The bread and butter was, I would not be invited or allowed to go to the fun stuff that was happening, which they had every right to make that choice. So I was on my own, started going downtown, hanging out with not college kids, doing much darker stuff than I ever had. And the MO was pick a fight with someone on the street. And once again, all retold to me because I was like a blackout at noon and wake up 4 days later sort of deal. Pick a fight with someone on the street, injure someone, always physical. Break things, hurt people. That was what I was doing. Someone would call the cops. They would come and rough me up a little bit. Never went to jail because the cops would call an ambulance for me because I was in such bad shape after they were done with me. And I was the wake up on strapped to a hospital bed type of drunk. So my end was getting my buddies to finally, for like the fifth time, have family come and take me to an inpatient place. So that was everything. For me, right, starting recovery was change in, and this is what it took, and I'm happy it did take this, but changing people, places, and things, right? I didn't make that up. I heard it before I experienced it. But I tried doing the whole get sober while still at school, while still keeping the job. But for me, it took absolute and complete removal from any situations. And holy moly, was that a lot easier, even though it's not at all what I wanted to do. But the point of that story is, after that happened, like, I was not talking to my buddies anymore, right? Because I was ashamed. It was not because they wouldn't talk to me, because a few of them, like, reached out, and they were like, hey, man, like, really sorry, like, we had to do that to you. I was like, no. Like, I couldn't even keep the tears out of my eyes. I was like, no. That is not how this is going. So because of nine-step stuff, like, there's probably a dozen guys there, and I was at one of their weddings a month ago, and I reached out last summer. It took 6 years to even reach out to the kid, because I grew up with them at home, went to the same school, and we had been, like, lifelong best buddies. 6 years, no contact, because the shame was still there after that long. But with this program, with the counsel of some sponsors, like one-on-one for hours, for different weeks, for days at a time, and like it got better for me, and I'm wholeheartedly of the belief that it can continue to, provided I put in the work. So there's been some good stuff coming out of this, and I look forward to talking about 10, 11, and 12 next week. Thanks for letting me get a little emotional there at a few different spots. So with that, my favorite part, opening it up to you guys. Thanks again. Happy to be here.